To him who has loved us and washed our sins in his own blood and has made you kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory forever. Amen. Our sermon text tonight comes to us from Psalm 22, verses 13 through 16. Enemies open their mouths wide against me, like a lion that tears its prey and roars. Like water, I am poured out. All my bones are pulled apart. My heart has become like wax. It has melted in the middle of my chest. My strength is dried up like broken pottery, and my tongue is stuck to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. This is the word of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Mercy, grace, and peace are yours through your God and Father, through your Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. Guilty. That's a very bad pronouncement to have placed upon you, guilty. We, the jury, find a defendant guilty. Those must be chilling and crushing words to hear if you are said defendant. In our country, we believe that no one is assumed to be guilty before they have a trial first. In fact, sometimes the location of your trial can change in order to achieve the fairest trial possible. Justice is supposed to be blind. Everyone deserves a fair trial to possibly avoid the verdict of guilty. But guilty isn't just a bad pronouncement. It's a bad feeling. It's a bad emotion. To know that you have done something wrong, that you know what you did was wrong, and then therefore you are also wrong, and that you feel regret, remorse over what you did, that is a terrible feeling. It's something that we see every year in Lent when we read through the Passion history. As we saw here tonight, Judas, who betrayed the Son of Man with a kiss, he felt guilt over what he had done from Matthew 27. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. He felt bad. He felt guilty. We see the evidence of that by Scripture clearly stating that, but also by him returning that blood money. But guilt is something that is felt by every human. As bad as it feels, though, guilt can also be positive. It can lead us to repentance. It can lead us to not do that thing again, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that is. But guilt can certainly be harmful. Can also lead to despair, and that's exactly where it left Judas. But Jesus had never felt guilt because, quite simply, he was never guilty. He was innocent. You and I, on the other hand, we're well experienced when it comes to guilt. We're experienced when it comes to feeling guilt, when it comes to dealing with guilt. But Jesus had never experienced guilt of any kind until that Good Friday. It was on the cross where the guiltless became guilty for the guilty mankind he came to save. Jesus was pronounced guilty, which of course he was not. And then he felt all the guilt for the sin that was placed upon him. It is on the cross where you and I, are able to get over our guilt, because it is at the cross where we see our forgiveness pronounced. Jesus was crucified by all sinners. All are guilty and all are justified. We pray, do not forsake me, O Lord. My God, do not be far from me. Hurry to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Amen. This year for our midweek Lenten services, we're going through our Savior's sorrows, foreshadowed in the Psalms. Tonight our text comes from Psalm 22. This psalm is messianic. It seems as if it could have been written by Jesus himself after his experiences at the cross. It describes what it felt like to be that man of sorrows. It describes how physically it felt. It also describes how the enemies who did this to him acted like. Enemies open their mouths wide against me like a lion that tears its prey and roars. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. One of the things about guilt is that we are experts at assigning it. We like to determine just who exactly is guilty. We're fascinated by murder mysteries, by true crime podcasts, Dateline episodes. We like to figure out who done it. Just think of all the dramatic representations of courtroom experiences that you are familiar with. People love to assign guilt. So who was guilty when it came to the trial of Jesus? We all know Jesus certainly was not guilty. He was the Holy Lamb of God. He's the definition of human perfection. He never sinned one time. And yet, the powers that be determined that he was indeed guilty, deserving of death. But that was clearly not the case. So who was guilty in falsely sentencing him to a death that he did not deserve? Who are these lions and dogs, as the text describes? Who is this band of evil men? There's a few parties that jumps to mind. Judas, that disciple who betrayed him, he certainly felt guilt. The Sanhedrin, who brought and bought false witnesses to testify against him. Pontius Pilate, ultimately he washed his hands of the situation and gave the go-ahead for him to be crucified. The Roman soldiers, perhaps, who, as the psalm points out here before us, pierced his hands and his feet. Who is guilty? Well, you and I know the truth. It's the same truth that was realized when the Apostle Peter preached his sermon on the day of Pentecost. Peter concluded, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" It could have been true that there could have been some at Pentecost who had an actual active role in the crucifixion, but it's also probably much more likely that most of them were not a part of it, and yet they reached the conclusion that they too had crucified Christ. The same goes for you and me. We are guilty. The fact of the matter is that Jesus would not be on the cross if it was not for my sin, for my guilt. We were not there, true, but we are just as guilty. It wasn't just Judas, the Sanhedrin, Pilate, the soldiers who killed him. I did. I killed him actively and passively. Every time I do not do everything that the law requires me to do, I have guilt. Every time I actively disobey what God commands, I'm guilty. All that Jesus went through, I deserve that. We know how guilty we are, and yet we tend to distance ourselves from the cross. We like to envision ourselves at the cross, perhaps, but passively. Perhaps we are there, we're there with the women weeping over Jesus, or we're there with those around his mother, or we're simply innocent bystanders who are merely sad and confused as to what is going on. But that's not the truth. We're more like those who actually pierced his hands and his feet. That is what our sin makes us guilty of, namely, an active role in killing the Messiah. We ask along with those to whom Peter preached at Pentecost, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What was the answer to that question that Peter gave them? Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This is where guilt should drive us to. Guilt says that I have done something wrong, and therefore I am bad, I am wrong, I am sinful. There's something I must do to atone. But that's where despair can creep in. Despair creeps in because there is nothing I can do to atone for what I have done. There's nothing that can be done for the active role I had in killing the Lord of Glory. But we do not need to despair or wallow in our guilt. And why not? Because as guilty as I am in killing Jesus, he died because he loved me, not because those plotting against him were so cunning. What did Jesus remind Peter of in the garden? Or do you not think that I cannot now pray to the Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? The reason that your Lord died on the cross was because he was willing to die on the cross. It wasn't because these perceived enemies were so crafty. Yes, we actively killed him, but he also actively laid down his life for us. He actively was willing to do this on your behalf. Jesus says in John chapter 10, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." Why did Jesus die? Well, because I was guilty. And because he loved me. He was willing to switch places with me. This is how he has redeemed you. And this is how he takes away the sin of the world. All are guilty, but now all sins have been paid for with the holy blood of the Lamb. Since all are guilty, that means that you are guilty as well. But in the same way, since the whole world's sin and guilt were placed upon him, so too was your guilt, your sin. Through the crucifixion, your sin has been paid for once and for all. Through the crucifixion, your guilt has been removed forever. This free gift of forgiveness cost him everything. Like water, I am poured out. All my bones are pulled apart. My heart has become like wax. It has melted in the middle of my chest. My strength is dried up like broken pottery, and my tongue is stuck to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. The psalmist here can envision the physical and spiritual anguish that Jesus would go through. His strength fails him. His bones are pulled apart, stretched out on the cross. His heart melts. His tongue sticks to the roof of his mouth. Thus, on the cross, he declared, "I thirst," before receiving that sour wine, so he could boldly declare, "It is finished." This was physically taxing, and this is what it took. Jesus was willing to go through with it. It was the will of the Father that the Holy Son of God should die for us, the children of wrath, so that we could be justified by grace through faith. This tremendous showing of love was not something any of us deserved. Far, far from it. Your guilt tells you as much. But now we can tell guilt to get lost. One of my favorite Martin Luther quotes is this one, which tells us how we're supposed to deal with when we are confronted by our guilt. So when the devil throws your sins in your face and declares that you deserve death and hell, tell him this: "I admit I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know one who has suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God. And where he is, there I shall be also." Guilty. It's a bad pronouncement. It's an even worse feeling. We don't like being called guilty, and we especially don't like feeling guilty. But that's exactly what we are. Rather, that's exactly what we were, but now no longer. Jesus looked at you. He boldly said, "That person isn't just not guilty. Rather, they are holy. You are blameless. You are completely righteous." And he has the blood receipts to prove it. And so it is. Yes, we have killed the Lord of glory, but he was willing to be killed, and because he was, now you stand eternally forgiven, justified, not guilty. Where he is, there you will be also. He took what I deserve, and he gave me what he earned. What do you have to do to atone? Nothing. Simply believe that what Jesus earned, he earned for you, and he has given it freely to you. You are justified. You are not guilty. You are innocent. You are righteous. Jesus died for you. Praise be to God. Amen. Please rise. And may that peace which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.